I appreciate you being here today, and I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord allowing us to be able to come together another Lord's Day and to worship and honor Him. I know that it is another hot day out there. Outside, I stepped out on the porch a moment ago. I come in, I still in Dennis. There's no breeze at all that I could tell out there. So I know it's warm on you in the car. So I noticed you had your windows down for a little bit. I know that's going to get hot still. So I said it last week. I've said it Wednesday. I'll say it again today. It gets warm on you. Roll your windows up. Crank your car. Turn on your air conditioner. Don't try to just tough it out and sweat. Crank your car. Turn on your air. And get a little cool air on you. I'll try not to take a great deal of time and get you on the way home. But I do want to honor the Lord with His Word and what He's put on my heart today. But do try to stay cool as you can there in your car. But I do appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord. Keep in mind next Sunday, we're going to try to come back inside for an inside service. Those who want to can come inside. We'll have some guidelines, pretty much like we did last time. So you remember that. So pretty much the same way, spaced out inside and that type of thing. And so keep that in mind. There are some rules, guidelines on the website. You can check those out as well. So just look at those. Pretty much basically like we did before, but we'll do that again next week. Those who are still a little concerned about that, we'll still have the parking lot service available. We'll do the live streaming also. So keep that also in mind. And all of that will still be available. Those who are our senior citizens, those who have the high-risk issues, we encourage you to either listen in your car, stay home right now. We encourage you to do that. But just keep those things in mind. Mention just a couple of things by request. Got a card of thanks I want to mention. It is on our prayer request. I've kind of made that our prayer request page and thank you card page. We have started getting thank you cards, and I've been scanning them and putting them at the bottom of the prayer request page. So if you want to see those, this one came the other day, was given to me, says, thank you, dear church family. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers during the loss of our dad. The flower arrangement was beautiful. Thank you again for your kindness. And it's signed Laura and Todd. You can't make out the last name exactly. And family, Stephen and Christy Palantin and family. It's the family of Jerry and Billy Palantin. Miss Petty's brother Jerry that passed away some time back. And they sent a card of thanks and to the church. So that is, like I said, at the bottom of the page on the prayer request and the thank you card page. So you can see that card of thanks. Just a few requests to mention to you. Caleb, pray for him. As I mentioned, he had an incident of work this past week, broke a bone in his leg. He's in a boot, no surgery. I pray for him as he heals. He'll wear the boot for about 6 weeks. Pray for Holly. She had one treatment this past week, and they'll do blood work this coming week, early in the week, determine about her treatments for this week. Ask the Lord to help her, touch her, give her strength, and pray for Randy and the family. I pray for Randy's dad. He had his first treatment this past week, and he will have his every 3 weeks. So pray for him. And then Guy Stamey, he'll go tomorrow, and he will have an IV treatment. Guy was telling me that he saw him this week, and that tomorrow will not actually be chemo, but it will be a medicine to boost his immune system. So he'll have this tomorrow, then he'll be seeing the doctors again and those things, but they'll be starting the chemo then before long, and he'll be taking those treatments. But this one tomorrow is to boost his immune system. And he said, I'll give you more information when I know more. And so then I'll post that as he gives it to me. And then others. Jim is still yet to, Jim Critton, still yet to start his injections in his back. I'll pray for him. Joyce, pray for Beverly. Jake Pevins, as he'll be doing this therapy on his arm. And Darnell, our ankle's still healing, these things. I want to mention Chuck Adams, who's on our prayer list. He and his wife are moving in to their apartment in Durham, and they'll begin his bone marrow transplant, starting the process on Wednesday. So it is about a 3 month or so process. Ask the Lord to help there. So a lot of things going on. Pray for these. Pray for our nation. Pray for our community, our church, our family, asking the Lord to help us in these days. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to help these needs, help our hearts today, that we'd honor him. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for times like this that we can call on your name. You know the needs of hearts. You know the needs of lives. And I pray you touch. Help as only you can. And Father, you know all that are hurting, these that are sick. And Father, things that have happened in lives and hearts, Father, physical things that have happened. But Lord, you know all about our church family, things that I haven't mentioned that are going on in families and in hearts and lives, burdens and problems. God, it breaks my heart to know all that's happening in our church family. And Lord, I wish I could reach out and touch and fix and heal the hurts that people are dealing with. But I don't have it in my power to do it. But God, you can. And I pray that you would touch them and help them today. Give peace in the midst of their problems and strength in all they're dealing with and in all they're facing. Lift them and encourage them. Help them today. Guard them from sickness and troubles and trials of life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us right now as we open your word. Lord, I'm just a man. There's nothing extraordinary about me. There's nothing special. Father, I have a weak voice. But God, would you touch my voice today and give me the ability to speak? Help me to say what I need to say and do what I need to do. I thank you for what you've put on my heart. And I ask you to help me and use it today. May it go out and, Father, accomplish what you've sent it to do. We'll give you the glory and the honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn today to Acts chapter 27. I got up on Wednesday Thursday morning, and I began to pray and ask God to help me and show me what I needed to do. I wanted direction for the service for today. And on Thursday morning, God began to burn in my heart this passage of Scripture. I look back and in 2015, I used this passage and thought about a few things. And I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, I remember on that particular Sunday, I really didn't get to preach the message. I just touched on a couple of points. The Lord had blessed I on that Sunday a little bit, and I really didn't get to get into the message much, but just touched on it. And I hadn't looked at it again till Thursday morning. And I didn't understand all about why the Lord put it on my heart Thursday morning till things began to happen as the week progressed and the day even progressed. But I want you to pray for us as I try to share with you as the Lord has put on my heart these things. I'm going to kind of jump in the middle of the story down in verse 9 in Acts chapter 27. I'll pick up some things early on. And we'll look at some things even after some verses I read. But I want you to notice the beginning in 1 number 9, what Paul says. Paul says in Acts 27, verse 9, how when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was called and could not fare up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we be exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day. They lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's verses 9 through 20 in Acts chapter number 27, that which the Lord has placed on my heart. We're in that time of year when those afternoon thunderstorms can be expected. And they often come and they hit and then they're gone. Sometimes they dump a lot of rain on us. Sometimes they shake us with some wind and thunder. And sometimes it's not much pop at all and then they're gone. But then there are those times when it's not just another storm. It is that time that they come and they hit, and the damage is far worse than what we expected. It wasn't but just a few weeks ago. In the middle of the night, we had a storm that came through the area. And I remember it woke us all up. I sleep with a CPAP, and often the storm can come through, and sometimes if there ain't a lot to it, I can sleep through it and never wake me up. But this particular storm, it wasn't like any other storm we'd had recently. And I remember it a lot of thunder and lightning and the heavy rain, but I remember one loud pop of lightning, jarred the house, rattled the windows. Come to find out, the next day, Dennis got in touch with me. And lightning had run in here at the church and caused some damage to some things, to our sound system and some of our electronic things here at the church. And we're dealing with some of those things now with insurance and those things. It just wasn't another storm, just an ordinary storm that came through that night. Some storms are like that and come that way. And you deal with the aftermath of them. I want to preach this morning on this thought and looking at the storm that Paul went through in our text. And here's the thought that the Lord put on my heart of when it's not just another storm. When it's not just another storm. There are storms that come in our life and in our heart, and they hit us and pass by, and we can deal with them. They shake us, they rattle our windows, they jar us a little bit. But then there are those storms that it's just not another storm. It's different. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 27 in the life of the Apostle Paul. It tells us down in verse 14, but not long after there arose. That word arose means that it beat on them. It says there arose against it, against the ship, a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And it says that the ship was caught up in the storm. And then down in latter verses, in verse 20 says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. This just wasn't another storm. This wasn't one like they had seen before. These were seasoned sailors. They had been on the seas before. They had been out on the sea. They had seen a lot of other storms. But this just wasn't another storm. This just wasn't another storm. It says all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Paul says Luke was writing, I guess I should say. Luke, the physician, was writing. And he says, all hope was then taken away that we should be saved. It looked like we wasn't going to make it. This just wasn't another storm. There are times in our life that it seems like that it's just not another storm. The Apostle Paul had appealed his case to Rome. He said he wanted to go to Caesar. And that's why he was on the ship. That's why that he was there. And the early verses in the chapter, and I'm not going to go back and read them, but the early verses in the chapter give a detail of how Paul was on the ship, and God had placed him on this particular ship with a good captain named Julius. And Julius had been kind to Paul on the first stop. Whenever they stopped in Sidon, it says Julius in verse 3 that he was courteous to Paul, and he let him go ashore and refresh himself among some friends. And then they went on, and Paul was placed on another ship, an Egyptian ship, going on toward Italy. And they described, Luke describes the trip, and they reached a place that they did not want to stay. And Paul warned them that it wasn't a good place to go on, that it was a time of year in mid-October after the Passover, that it wasn't a good time to travel, but they got out a good south breeze and they thought they would travel on. And then the storm hit. And you and I all know how it is when suddenly a storm hits in our life and in our hearts. We thought everything was well. We thought everything was okay. Man, we've had some storms. We've had some of those times, like I said, when the storm would come and the rains would pound down and the thunder would rattle our windows and they would hit and they'd pass and be gone. But then there are those times when it's just not another storm. It's different. What do you do? What do you do when it's just not another storm? There are four things that I want to give you today, and I'm going to try to quickly give them to you, and I'll be done, because I know it's hot on the outside. Oh, but how God touched my heart with this, and I want to give it to you. There are a few things that you can do when it's just not another storm. First of all, keep in mind God's perception of your storm. Keep in mind God's perception of your storm. You see, before your storm ever came, before the situation, before the sickness, before the diagnosis, before the problem, before it all, God knew all about it. You see, nothing is ever beyond His knowledge. God has no instructor. God needs no teacher or counselor. We live in days of uncertainty. We live in days of unknown. But God doesn't. Nobody has to teach God anything. For nothing is unknown to God. He knows it all. I said, we live in days of unknown, but God doesn't. Every day that we wake up, every morning that we get out of bed, we don't know what it's going to happen on that particular day. We don't know what that day is going to bring before the sun sets. But God already knows. He knows what today is going to bring. He knows what tomorrow is going to hold. He knows because God lives in the ever-present now. God knows from eternity to eternity how everything is. I read some verses just recently, and I want to share them with you again. You don't have to turn there right now. But in Psalm 139, the psalmist David says this in verse 1. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my life down, and Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. You know what David was saying? He was saying, God, there's not a single thing in my life that happens but what You already know it. You know when I get up, you know when I lay down, you know what's before me, you know what's behind me, you know what I say, you know what's in my mouth before it ever comes out. God, You know everything that's ever going to happen in my life, every fit, whether it's good, whether it's bad, You know all about my life. So I want to say to you today, when it's not just another storm, keep in mind God's perception of your storm. I'm reminded of Job and the story of Job. And I think about all that Job faced. I think about all that he lost in such a short time. Job had all that he had in his hands, but he lost his herds, he lost his servants, he lost his wealth, he lost his children. And while he was dealing with the hurt of all of that, he lost his health. Job didn't see any of that coming. He had no idea the Sabaeans were going to attack. He had no idea that the fire would fall from heaven and slay his flocks and his servants. He had no idea that the Chaldeans would attack and slay his servants and steal his camels. He had no idea that a sudden windstorm was going to hit the roof of the house his children were all in and kill them all at once. He had no idea of the conversation that took place in heaven between God and Satan. He had no idea of all of that. But God in heaven saw all of those things before it ever happened. I want to say to you today, God knows all about your storm. He sees it. He sees where you are. He knows before it ever took place, God saw it all. So I want to remind you today that whenever your storm happens, and it's not just another storm, that God sees your storm. God knows where you are today. There are some of you listening to me right now. You are dealing with a storm that it's not just another storm. Man, this thing that you're dealing with today, it ain't just one of them little ones that hit and passed on. But it's one that has hit hard in your life. It is one that has hit hard in your soul. I want to remind you of God's perception of your storm. He knew you were going to deal with it today. But that takes me to the second thing. That not only keep in mind God's perception of your storm, but secondly, claim God's promises in spite of your storm. Claim God's promises in spite of your storm. Now listen, I know it's hard whenever storms hit. It's hard to think of everything. It's hard to remember a lot of things when the storm hits. Sometimes when storm damage comes, it's hard to remember everything that you lose. I've heard people talk about when a fire has ravaged their home and their house, and the insurance comes by and says, tell us what all you lost. It's hard to remember initially everything you lost. It's hard to remember how to write down everything. It's hard to remember sometimes everything whenever you're hit by a bad storm. I know, because you're dealing with thoughts of how am I going to get through this? How am I going to handle this? What do I do now? And what are we going to do? There's so many questions, and the devil surely doesn't want you to remember some of those things that you ought to remember. But God had given Paul a promise back before the storm ever hit. Back in chapter 23, in verse 11, God said this to the apostle Paul. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at home. God made a promise to the apostle Paul before he ever faced Felix, before he ever faced Agrippa, before he ever appealed to Caesar. God said to the apostle Paul that you are going to go to Rome, that you're going to Rome. Paul, you've got an appointment at Rome to bear witness of me. Paul had the promise before the storm ever hit He had the assurance that God had given him that he was going to be in Rome. But then notice verse number 25 of our text. Paul had heard a voice from God. And listen, well, look at verse number 24. He said that God had spoken to him saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Paul says, yes, things are bad right now, and yes, things are like I've never faced before, but God has given me a promise, and I believe him. I want to tell you, it's been in some of the dark days of my life that God has spoken a promise to my heart in such a way that I've clung to that. And I've let that be my anchor that I've held to. I want to tell you, there are in the Word of God, as Peter said, some exceeding great and precious promises. I think of God that said his grace would be sufficient, that his strength was made perfect in our weakness. I think of how he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, that he'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I think about how that he said that all things were working together for our good and to the glory of God. I think of how he's promised to be a shelter for us in a time of need. So I say to you today, when the storm hits you, that is not like any other storm. Cling to the promises of God in your storm. Keep in mind God's perception of your storm. Cling to God's promise in spite of your storm. And then recognize God's presence in the midst of your storm. Notice, if you will, in verse 23, it says, Paul says to them that were standing there, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul said, "For there stood by me the angel of God." What a blessing to realize that no matter how dark the night, how deep the valley, or how dangerous the storm, that we don't have to face it alone. That there is one that promises to stand by us. I'm glad that no matter where you are and what you're going through, there's maybe somebody saying, "But preacher, this isn't like any other storm I've ever faced in my life." But there's one that said, "Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I'm with you. I'm with you. I'll be with you. I'll walk the dark valley with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll never leave you. I'll be there all the way." Billy Graham made the statement once. He said, "Nothing we experience ever catches God by surprise or is too big for him to handle. Even when our day seems dark, God never leaves us, nor does he allow anything to come our way that can overwhelm us." He's right. He's right. There's nothing that we'll ever face that we'll face alone. God has said that he'd be with us. It was the Apostle Paul, I believe, that wrote Hebrews. And in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he says, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." There's your promise that you can cling to in the storms of life. When it's not like any other storm, when it's not like anything you've ever faced before, you can cling to that. So keep in mind God's perception of your storm. Cling to his promises in spite of your storm. Recognize his presence in the midst of your storm. And then lastly, Trust God's protection through your storm. Can I tell you why God will protect you through your storm? Notice what Paul said about himself in verse 23. He said, "There again, for there stood by me this night the angel of God," here it is, "whose I am." Can I tell you why God will protect you? Because you're His child. Because you're His child. That's why God's going to take care of you. Oh, can I tell you tonight, or today, excuse me, can I tell you today, that you're one of His sheep and He's your shepherd. That you're one of His children and He's your father. That you're one of His own. Thank God, I'll take that even sweeter today. That you're a part of His bride, and He's the bridegroom. I'm His today, and He's mine. Thank God He's going to take care of me. He has promised to take care of me. I guarantee you that God is going to take care of you. If God would have allowed it, if God would have permitted it and would have opened Paul's eyes, I believe he could have seen angels all around that ship, all around it, giving protection unto Paul that day. Oh, I want to tell you, God is going to take care of you. You may be in the storm, unlike any storm you've ever faced. But God's going to see you through it. He's going to protect you. But there's something else. There's one more thing I want to give you before I depart from this. In verse 24, the angel said to him, "Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar." There is that word "must." That word "must." That is a word of purpose. It means that there is something that has to be done. It is a word of purpose, a plan. He is saying, Paul, that there is a destination for you, that you've got to get to Rome, that you've got to appear before Caesar. There was a heavenly destination that God had in mind for Paul. But let me put it like this for you and I. God has a heavenly destination for you and I. He's going to get us through the storms of life. He's going to get us through this. He's going to get us all the way safe to the other side. He's going to get us all the way through the storms, whatever you're facing and whatever you're going through. He'll get you safely through it, whatever it may be. There are storms that come away that are just not another storm. They're different. They're tough. They're tough. But just keep trusting Him. He knows about it. He knows where you are. He knew it before you ever got there. He knew about what was going to happen before it ever happened. He knew all that was going to take place. You say, "Preacher, what's the purpose of it all?" I don't know, but He's got a purpose. He's going to get you through it and come out on the other side, and you'll come through it all. But trust Him till the storm passes by. The same day that God gave me this message, that Thursday morning, I wanted to put something on her website, on the blog. And I wasn't sure what I need. I felt impressed on my heart, I need to put something on the blog. And I couldn't get a song off my heart. You say, "Preacher, what was the song?" I don't know if any of you read the blog that day or not. But I had in mind a song that was written by Mosey Lister back in 1958. Mosey Lister, he sung a little bit with the Statesman Quartet back years ago. But in 1958, Mosey Lister wrote a song. I'm sure you've heard it. The song's entitled, Till the Storm Passes By. Listen just a little bit to some of the words of the song. It says, in the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Hid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Anytime Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storms never darken the skies. When the long night is ended, and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence, on the bright peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes, nor may I, to hell with thee, when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand, in the hollow of thy hand, keep me safe, till the storm passes by. That Thursday morning I put in a blog. I said, I don't know why I feel impressed to put this in the blog. But I said, there's somebody maybe that needs to read this and hope these words will speak to their heart. I felt impressed I needed to do this today. That there's maybe somebody that's listening to this message today or will listen by CD. That you're facing a storm that's not just any other storm today. I want to tell you that God knows where you're at and He knows what you're facing. Why not just put your storm in His hands? Trust Him to get you through it. Trust His promise. Cling to that promise till the storm passes by in your life. Give it to Him. Lean upon Him. He will get you through the storm. You say, preacher, will He do it tomorrow? It may not happen tomorrow, but He will get you through the storm. Trust Him till the storm passes by. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, You know why this message was sent today. I don't know all the reasons why, but You do. Father, it may be for me. It may be something that I'm going to need tomorrow. It may be something I'm going to need for next week or next month. But God, there are days that we face storms that are just not another storm. God, would You help us to realize You know the storms we face. Father, that You've given us promises that You'll never leave us, that You'll be with us through the storm. And Father, I know that You'll keep us safe till the storm passes by. Father, I believe with all my heart there's somebody listening today, maybe in their car, maybe at home, or that maybe will listen later on. But God, speak to them, give them peace, give them encouragement, give them strength till the storm passes by. We'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being a part of the service today. Be careful going home. Keep in mind our service Wednesday. And we look forward to then. Be praying for our services. Pray for one another and your liberty to come.